Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings. We worship at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Many of you can't make it here. You could join our live stream. You could go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Chat, write up prayers, worship, connect, and grow in grace. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed, S-E-E-D, Christian Fellowship, and you can watch any of our worship services, weekly sermons, or weekly children's messages. It's our hope and prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We're going to spend a little time in the upper room. We're going to look at the last words of Christ in chapters 13 through 17 in the Gospel of John. These five chapters are called the Upper Room Discourse or the Upper Room Teaching. In these five chapters, we find 155 verses and about 4,000 words. These five chapters constitute some of the last words or the last lessons of Jesus Christ before he goes to the cross in order to become our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. These are the last words of a dying man, and they're very, very truly important. In these five chapters of John, we find these lessons from the upper room, and I encourage you to go and read chapters 13 through 17 in the Gospel of John over the next, I'd say 5 or 6 weeks, maybe probably longer we're going to be in here. Listen for the lessons in the upper room. Before we begin, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, teach us in a personal way that your love is everlasting, that your love will continue to bless us. Show us the full extent of your love. Show us how wide and deep and tall and long your love for us truly is. Let us hear the soft sound of the sandaled feet of the Messiah. Let us hear his voice and listen to his heart in these last words of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're going to be in John 13, 1 through 17, and we'll pick up on verse 34 and 35. John 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part of me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. In John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Well, I'm sure that many of us have read this story over and over and, well, over and over and over again. As I prepared to write the message this week, what struck me the most was the very first sentence of chapter 13. When you read the whole Gospel of John, you hear Jesus say, well, over and over again, that his time had not come. In John chapter 2, Jesus' mother wants him to help the people at the wedding feast of Canaan. And Jesus says, dear woman, why do you involve me? He says, my time has not come, John 2:4. In John 7, Jesus' brothers try to convince Jesus to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus says, not once, but twice that his time has not come. Listen, in John 7:6, he says, therefore, Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. And then in John 7:8, he says, you go to the feast. I am not going yet for this feast because for me, the right time has not yet come. However, Jesus does go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and while there, the people try to seize him. And listen to what is written. It says, at this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him because, well, his time had not come. John 7:30. In chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, Jesus forgives a woman caught in adultery and then proclaims one of his great I Am statements. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. But right after Jesus makes that claim that he is the light of the world, the people try to seize him again. Listen to those profound words in John 8:19-20. You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not come. John 8:19-20. I want to stop here for just a moment and ask you a few personal questions. Do you know God the Father and his love for you? Do you know God the Son, Jesus, and his grace for you? Do you know God the Holy Spirit and his power for you? Do you know that the time has indeed come? Karl Barth, a renowned German theologian, was invited to deliver one of the distinguished lectureships at a theological seminary in the East. And while he was there, a group of ministers and theologians and dignitaries of one kind or another sat down with him in a question and answer period. Someone asked the question, what is the most profound thought that you know, Dr. Barth? This is what he said. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Karl Barth, one of the most revered scholars of his time, boiled down all of his learning to a simple children's song. Do you know that Jesus loves you? The early Latin writer and early church father Tertullian of Carthage declared that the one thing that converted him to Christianity was not the arguments they gave him, because he could find a counterpoint for every argument they would present. Tertullian said, quote, but they demonstrated something I didn't have. The thing that converted me to Christianity was the way they loved each other. So I'm going to ask you again, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that the time has come? All throughout the gospel, the love of God and the love of Christ is told. It is never told in a more pointed and humbling way than in John 13. We are told at the very beginning of John 13, Jesus' love, when he hears those words, now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. There it is. His time had come. All that talking about my time has not yet come is over. Jesus now knew that his hour had come, and he turns from trying to convince the world of his love. That's chapters 1 through 12, to showing the world his love. Maybe a good so what question for us. And I like so what questions, because how do we apply the scriptures to us? How do we put ourselves in the story and then put the story in us? So what? What is the difference between telling someone you love them and showing that person you love them? Let me say that again. What's the difference between telling someone you love them and showing that person that you love them? Think about that. That's your homework for this week. What is the difference between using words to tell someone that you love them than showing them with your actions that you love them? In John chapter 13 through 17, Jesus spends his last hours of life pouring out his love in a very real and personal way. Chapters 13 through 17 are called the Upper Room Discourse or the Upper Room Teaching. I believe these are the last lessons from the Upper Room. Thomas Goodwin, a Puritan pastor and theologian, wrote a book in the early 1600s called The Heart of Christ. In his book, he called the teachings in John 13 through 17 a window into the heart of Christ. What a wonderful word picture. John chapter 13 through 17, a window into the heart of Christ. John, our gospel writer, tells us that Jesus loved those who were in the world and that he would show them his full extent of love. Jesus would love them to the end. This Upper Room Discourse begins here with a powerful emphasis on love, and it ends with a wonderful promise of love as Jesus is praying his last prayer with the disciples. In John 17:26, the Upper Room Discourse ends, and this is what it says: I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Take a deep breath, maybe take a few aspirins. This is powerful. This is wonderful. Have you ever prayed with someone? It is a powerful act of love shared between people. I love that Jesus ends his time with his disciples by praying with them and for them. Here's another challenge for you, maybe a homework so what. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have our prayer team pray with you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. If you ever have any questions or need prayer, you can always email me too, PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Here's a homework assignment for this week. I'm going to challenge you to pray with others. Before you leave your home, pray with someone. As you eat a meal with another person, pray with them. A simple, can I pray with you? Or can we close our time together in prayer? What a powerful display of God's love when we pray together. Our Christian faith is founded on the love of God. God's love in the past, God's love in the present, and God's love in the future. Jesus came to demonstrate the full extent of God's love, past, present, and future. The demonstration of Christ's love is also given to us in the washing of the disciples' feet. Notice this, that on the night of the Passover meal, Jesus began teaching not with words. Those words might have been misunderstood, but he began with an action they would never misunderstand. He bent down low to wash their dirty feet. Jesus came into the world to show us the love of God. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not require equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Our gospel writer John tells us, after he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus asked the disciples if they knew what he had just finished doing by washing their feet. He taught them using words. He also taught them by his actions, showing them his love, washing their feet. Knowing and doing are the two sides of discipleship or servanthood. Let me say that again. Knowing and doing are the two sides of servanthood or discipleship. Most of us listening today know that God loves us, that Christ died for us, and that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Listen, if you don't know that, send me an email. I'll help you come to know the love of God. We know that God loves us, Christ died for us, and that the Holy Spirit lives in us. That's great. We have not completed, we've completed one side of servanthood, of being a disciple, the knowing side. Now the so what, the really hard part is the doing side of servanthood, the action side. Boy, I would like to do something right now. Let's imagine that we're at the Passover meal. So many times I ask you to put yourself in the story. Well, let's do that now. What would it be like? We're settled around the table. The tables are low to the ground, and the people ate and talked and reclined on pillows and cushions. We're all there. Can you see all of us sitting around the table? It's been a long 3 years with Jesus. We've learned a lot. We've seen a lot. We've seen people healed over and over again, people fed miraculously over and over again. Jesus has taught us parable after parable. We've fished together, we've prayed together, and now we're all gathered together. We have no clue that this is our final gathering with Jesus. Matter of fact, we've been sitting around wasting our time arguing about which one of us is the greatest and who will get to sit at Jesus' right or left side. We're focused on ourselves and our desires. We don't know all that the disciples were thinking, but we know that they had gathered to celebrate, and we also know that authorities are looking for Jesus to kill him. We know we're supposed to have a slave come do the upper room washing our feet, but we don't want to be the one who has to go outside and look for one because it's too dangerous. Instead, we just sit there wondering, which one of us is going to wash feet? Which one of us is the best? Are you in this story? Can you picture yourself here in the upper room? In the Jewish culture, the task of washing feet was left to a slave, not a Jewish slave. No, the Jewish slave was exempt from washing feet. The act of washing feet was so humbling that this dirty job was left to those outside their culture. This was the job of a Gentile slave. And here is our leader, our teacher, our rabbi, our Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, standing and taking off his outer garment. And to our utter amazement, Jesus picks up the basin and the towel. He comes to us one by one and bends down and lovingly washes our feet. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking Jesus is saying something to each one of us. Babe, remember when you had lead poisoning, but you still had enough strength to preach and teach? Well, I'm proud of you for that. Seriously, what do you think you would have done? Would you have sat there in silence? Would you have spoken out like Peter? Would you have jumped up and taken the basin from Jesus' hands? Listen to this quote by Graham Cook and see yourself in the upper room. This is what Graham Cook wrote. He said, just like Peter, there are places we have walked that we have left us with dirty feet. Where have you been walking lately? Have you been lingering on the path of bitterness, lollygagging in an angry place, or shuffling around in self-pity? Have you spent too much time on the road to success and too little time in his presence? Have you been dancing around with fear or hanging loosely with the unholy? Have you been sidestepping his voice? Examine where you've been. Jesus wants to move towards you with the towel and the basin. This isn't just the knowing side of servanthood. This is the doing side of servanthood, masterfully presented by our very Lord and Savior, Jesus. So what? Here's your so what. Let's wrap it up. Let's bring it home, Pastor Dave. Here's the so what for us today. Today, right now, we're being invited to come to the table and sit with Jesus. We remember once again the new command that we've been given to love one another. When we share communion or the Passover meal with the celebration of what we call the Lord's Supper, it's the blood of the unblemished Lamb of God who takes away our sins. No matter where we've been, what we've done, thought, or said, Christ came to wash our dirty feet. He knows all about us and still loves us, in spite of our own denials, betrayals, doubts, fears, and questions. Jesus still stoops low to serve us. This is the difference between Jesus' teaching about love with words and Jesus showing us about the extent of his love. His love stoops, his love cleanses. Legend has it that a wealthy merchant traveling through the Mediterranean world looking for the distinguished Pharisee Paul encountered Timothy, who arranged a visit. Paul was at the place at that time, a prisoner in Rome. Stepping inside the cell, the merchant was surprised to find a rather old man, physically frail, but whose peace and love challenged the visitor. They talked for hours. Finally, the merchant left with Paul's blessing. Outside the prison, the concerned man inquired, "What is the secret of this man's power? I have never seen anything like it before." "Did you not guess?" replied Timothy. "Paul is in love." The merchant looked bewildered. "In love? Yes," the missionary answered. "Paul is in love with Jesus Christ." The merchant looked even more bewildered. "Is that all?" Smiling, Timothy replied, "That is everything." Wow, that is everything, being in love with Jesus. After Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he returned to the table and he asked them, "Do you know what I have done for you?" Knowing, doing. Do we know what Jesus has done for us? That's the so what question. Do we know what Jesus has done for us? If so, we're now commanded to go and love one another. Your homework assignment, your so what assignment for this week is to figure out the difference. Well, the difference between telling someone you love them with your words and showing them you love them with your actions. We can love one another because we have been loved to the full extent of Jesus' love. Jesus has loved us to the end. Well, and friends, that is everything. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, God Almighty Father, come Holy Spirit, teach us again of your great love. Let us see in this story not just your words, but your actions. And let us learn to know your love, but more importantly, let us do your love, knowing and doing. Lord Jesus, help us to do your love in all the places that you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. My prayer each week as I do these programs, because I don't get to see you, my prayer is that you'll really, really, really come to know the love of God, that you'll grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, that you'll go out in the power of the Holy Spirit doing the things that Christ has called you to do. God loves you, and so do I. God bless. Have a great week. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you. and so do we.